guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity.
Hey you, it's me, Nat, a Twiniversity. If you are currently expecting and you're like, what? There's a Twiniversity class? I want to say welcome. Welcome out of the bunker. Yes, Twiniversity has been teaching classes for over 10 years and we have taught literally, is that the right way to say it? Literally? Literally thousands of expecting twin families all around the world, and we want you to be one of them. So head on over to twiniversity.com/classes, check out our online class, our in-person classes, our live online classes. There is a plethora. Fancy word of the day. I got 50 cents for saying that word. What was I saying? See, now this is what happens. I get distracted, but in a good way. Yep, join us for a Twiniversity class, twiniversity.com/classes. I can't wait to have you in there. You will learn things like, oh my gosh, what are the things that I can't do too soon? Oh no, how do I change a diaper? What is my partner supposed to do on delivery day? Yeah, we got you covered. We've been there, done that, and literally wrote the book. So check us out at twiniversity.com/classes. Jewel.
Nat.
All right, we got a fun one. We got a fun one today. So Yay. Today we're talking to Jenny. And Jenny lives with the love of her life, her twinnies, and the love of her life's grandmother.
Aww.
And it's such a sweet story. Now, she's a school teacher. And I love that I believe she's a social studies teacher. So you'll correct me when I'm wrong when you listen to this podcast. But I love that she's living with somebody that grew up in a very different time than where we are now.
Okay.
And historically, she's seen things and done things that we, of course, will only read about on the web.
Yeah.
And the joy and just practicality that having a vibe like that of living through, you know, a time where things were definitely simpler, much more cut and dry. There wasn't conversations about grass-fed beef. Like, it was just like you ate.
Yeah.
And we talk about that, and we talk about how, you know, it's just interesting because when you live with a grandmother, it's not like living with your mom that's, you know, maybe a little spry and ready to, you know, run around the park. But with grandma, you gotta watch it a little bit more.
I'm curious to know how old this grandma is, because, like, my grandparents passed away when I was in college. So
yeah.
I can't even imagine having my grandma around right when I was, you know, having my kids.
Well, look.
That would have been awesome, but.
Right? Like, yeah. I still do, technically. Like, our grandma is still around. Grandma Julie, kicking in at 91.
Dear Lord.
Fighting with me. Wow. Every freaking day, literally, literally called me yesterday to remind me of something that I did the day before, but not believing that I actually did it. So confirming that I did it at 9 o'clock at night because it was bothering her. So that was our day yesterday. But it's very interesting because the things that we worry about are never something that she would worry about. Like, that was like, you know, the era where you went outside because it was light and your kids came back when the street lamps went on. That was it.
Yeah.
That was like, that's how, there was no cell phone. There was no stay in this area.
Favorite thing about probably the time when she grew up or she was raising children, on Call the Midwife, which takes place in like the 50s, and you see people like parking their prams outside wherever they're visiting and just leaving the kid.
They still do that here. Do you know that in the very religious Jewish areas, that is still very much done?
What?
In New York City.
Really?
Yeah. Literally. You would never believe it. You go to Williamsburg, Jewel.
I'm just going to park my kid out here like it's a dog, and I'm going to go in and get my Starbucks.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
What? I'm blown away. That's amazing.
was creeped out the first time I ever saw that happen.
Yeah.
And then I literally stayed by the carriage because I'm like, I need to watch this baby. Now I'm a baby monitor. But yeah, things like that still happen in different parts of the world. I think it really depends on your community. If you're very trusting of your community, but whatever. Listen, Jewel.
You know, my favorite is the episode where that rat started attacking the baby in the pram outside.
Oh my God, I'm itchy. Thinking about that.
Call the midwife. Don't watch it till after you had your babies.
No, don't ever.
Don't watch it when you're pregnant.
The new season started. Do you know that?
I haven't. Is it like available in the US?
It just started on like the regular TV, like Channel 13.
Okay, well,
for
then
us.
I probably can. PBS. I can probably watch it. I usually watch them once they land on Netflix. They're like on season 10. So good.
Yeah, I love the Christmas episodes.
Oh, I do too.
I cry every year.
I love that show. I can watch that show. I probably will do a rewatch of that show. I've already done a rewatch.
Looking at that in our universe, right, where we're like heavy pregnant, heavy baby. That's where we kind of live even now.
Yeah.
To see the developments that even happened in childbirth from the beginning of that show. Because what's interesting, not that we were talking about Call the Midwife today, but it's actually a good segment because it's one of the only shows that takes you through like a solid parenting experience and like a motherhood birth experience. How like in the very beginning of when they started the show, you know, dads weren't allowed in the delivery room and that, you know, predominantly women gave birth at home. And then you saw as the seasons went on and called the midwife that now they're in a hospital and now there's oxygen involved and now there's more prenatal testing and now there's birth control.
Mm-hmm.
That was the episode I just watched.
Yeah.
So I'm still behind a little bit. I have everything taped, but I'm only at the episode right now where the woman was taking birth control and they didn't know that it could cause a blood clot. And then, of course, by the end of the episode, you're like, why do I watch this show?
I love playing guess that ailment when I watch Call the Midwife, because it's like all of a sudden the pregnant woman starts feeling like lightheaded.
Yes.
Oh, I feel like my legs are swelling. I'm like, preeclampsia.
Julie, I'm literally at this episode. I'm like, it's a blood clot. It's a blood clot. She has a blood clot. Could somebody check her for a blood clot?
This is why I feel like I'm a doctor because I've watched so many episodes. I can just diagnose. Oh,
I was like, they don't have ultrasounds. How are they going to know it's a blood clot? What do they do in this situation? Do they have blood thinners? What do they have?
My favorite is when they have a twin or a triplet and they didn't know.
Surprise.
That's the best. I mean, and that still happens to this day, but like most people get monitored. Back then they didn't have ultrasounds. So they're like,
Well, think about living with somebody who had their kids then.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's my mom was born in 42. And so my grandmother, I actually don't know what year she was born. It was single digits.
Yeah.
And when I told her that I was having twins, I was like, oh, I'm having twins. This is when we lived in, we still only were in a walk up. And so I knew I had two flights to get up to. We have an elevator now. It's a long story, whatever, but I didn't have it when the babies were born. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to like, you know, I have to have a walk up. How am I going to take care of these kids? What am I going to do? My grandmother did not give a crap. She was like, I don't even understand why you're complaining about that. Like, why is that a bad thing? She just couldn't comprehend why I was stressed about, oh my gosh, the car seats. And I don't think that she, you know, they didn't have car seats. They didn't have, you know, baby carriers. You took a piece of material, you strapped a baby on you, you called it a day. And so she would be like, you know, Josie on the next block. Hold on, let me do my grandmother's voice. Josie on the next block, when she had twins, it wasn't a big deal. She just took them up and down. What are you going to do? You put the laundry, you wash in the sink, you hang it out the window. This is what I was up against.
Oh my God.
My nanny, who just didn't give a crap. And we named, Anna's named after her.
Aww.
And it was the sweetest.
That is sweet.
That was, of course, like her baby. But it was funny to her because we're very Italian on this side. But Anna's like super Irish looking. And so she had like this baby that she's like is named after me, but looks like she should have been named, you know, Colleen or something, right, or Catherine. I don't know, Siobhan. But it really, it was just so sweet to have had that experience. And my grandmother passed away, I think the 20s were under three, like right around there when she passed away. And I remember that in classic Italian American style, we all hung out at the funeral parlor for days, even with the twins. And the twins are just running around. But that's how I grew up too, is that you didn't not take kids to a funeral. Like a funeral was like a joyous kind of weird thing. So even in my grandmother's passing, we still had an, she still provided an extraordinary experience for us. And I think now, like I could, I have clear memories of my grandmother's funeral. And instead of being like, oh my God, my nanny, what happened? I remember the kids pulling the flowers out of the arrangements that people and would give them to people. Come on, how cute is that? When you have twins roaming free in a funeral parlor in New York City, handing out flowers like a Hare Krishna at the airport. It was very sweet. No offense to the Hare Krishnas out there. I appreciate the flowers. And I'll at least give you the $5 when you give me that card I don't want. But yeah, so that's what we're going to talk. We're going to talk to Jenny today and about her parenting experience with these multi-generations. I love the love. She's also so in love with her husband. You're going to hear about it. You're going to meet her. Are you ready to meet Jenny?
Yes.
All right, girl. All right, everybody. Meet a good friend, Jenny.
Let's do it.
Ah, I'm excited again for you guys to meet Jenna Moreno. Am I saying your last name correct?
Correct. Yes.
Thank you so much. So Jenna is a social studies teacher by trade, but also moonlights as a 13-month-old identical girl mom, a stepmom to another 9-year-old chick, dog mom to German Shepherd Vito, is it? And right. She's married to a lovely gentleman by the name of Vinny, and they happen to have a roommate. And their roommate is 84 years old, and it's Vinny's grandma, Gigi. Jenna, thank you for joining us today, because I can't wait to hear the wild adventures. It really should be a kid's book called The Wild Adventures of Gigi and Vito, about your grandmother and the dog just going on hikes.
It really should be, actually, and snuggling on the couch.
I love it. So how did you get to the situation here that you're just like, let's take her in? Did you move to her or did she move to you?
So actually, even before I met my husband, he moved her in to his house. So she, long story short, she was having some health issues. She was living 2 hours away. He's like, you know what? Move her in. Let's do this. You know, she had a huge hand in raising him in his adolescence. So it was just kind of like giving back. And then I met him and eventually, you know, move in, marriage, all the stuff. And, you know, he became one big happy family. The dog came first and then the twins.
The dog came first. What did you think when you met him and you found out that he was living with his grandmother? Did you say, look at this bum who's mooching off of his grandma? Or did you immediately know that it was like, this is the best guy that's just taking care of her?
It was one of the main reasons I fell in love with him, because I grew up with my grandparents. So I'm like, wow, you know, like this is somebody I can identify with, you know? So family comes first.
Oh my gosh. So how long are you guys married now?
Just a little bit over a year. We actually had a backyard wedding during COVID. Life has been crazy. Life has been insane. So it's a lot going on.
Okay. So let's do the math on this, Jenna. Okay.
Sure.
So,
let's
so we had a good old fashioned shotgun wedding.
We sure did.
They don't happen enough anymore. I want to go on the record. It's a lost art.
I would say so. And yeah, no, it's the story's kind of nuts, but we had a 5-year plan and life didn't. So there's that.
I can't believe this. So how when you found out that you were pregnant, okay, obviously not part of the 5-year plan, or maybe towards the latter part of the 5-year, let's say.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So it was in there. And now you're like, oh, look what just happened. When you went for that initial visit and it's COVID and everything is happening, when did you find out that it wasn't just a one surprise little monkey, that there was a second heartbeat in this batch?
Well, to answer that question, I got to backtrack just a tiny bit. So I, let's just put it this way. The twins scientifically should not have been here. So I was on birth control. And
surprise.
Yeah. And yeah, so it was like, I wasn't feeling well. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make an appointment. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably a little more serious. Like, there's no way. I actually got a false negative at-home pregnancy test. So I went in and they were like, oh, you're pregnant. I'm like, oh, well, that's about 3 years too early, but okay, let's do this. And so I'm on the phone with Vinny, the doctor's like down the street from our house. I'm like, can you get here? Like, you're kidding. Like, this is not a thing. Okay. So he gets there about 2 minutes too late, and the doctor was already doing the ultrasound. And she goes, I see two.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what? So I find out at the doctor's, and then, you know, two, he shows up. And the doctor, and she escorted him in, and I go, did you tell him? He goes, tell me what? And she goes, you're having twins. And I'm not kidding, I'll give you the PG version, but he goes, you're effing with me. He says that to the doctor. I'm like, no, why would I joke? No, I'm not joking with you. This is not a thing to joke about. And after that, I don't remember the rest of the appointment, but basically, you know, in the old school Charlie Brown comics or the cartoons where the parents speak and they're like, mm-hmm. wah, wah, wah. That's all I heard the rest of the appointment. So yeah, that was the end of January, and then we go on lockdown in March. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the rest is history.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, the good news is that at least those early appointments weren't during lockdown, so that's good. So at least you had a little introduction into this, you know, pregnancy universe before the world shut down on you. But now let's talk about that. Your 84-year-old roommate, how did that conversation go? Now, is Gigi very old school where like, this is not okay? Or was she just, yes, let's do this?
So when we broke the news to both older sister Levea and Gigi, we did it at the same time. They both broke down in tears of happiness. And they were so excited. So it was like, definitely like a huge moment for our family. I think remember forever. So very excited.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So now lockdown. Thank goodness that you have Gigi close so you could protect her, and that you have your, does your stepdaughter live with you guys full time?
50% of the time. So okay. We get her half the week. Yeah.
Okay. So now you have your little quarantine bubble, you're going through pregnancy, you're nearing the end of your pregnancy. How does your latter portions of your pregnancy go and delivery? Was that easy breezy? I hope.
It actually was. I'm very, very, very blessed, lucky, however you want to see it. Towards the end, I did have some issues with, I always get it mixed up. It's a DSP. So my hips had a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I really, really can't complain. I had a really great pregnancy. I think I would give that to the fact that when we went on lockdown in March, mm-hmm. I was working from home, and I would assume that if I was on my feet the way I teach, you know, 6-7 hours a day, I think it'd be a little bit tougher. So anyway, yeah, the twins were, they came 36 weeks and I believe 4 days, 5 days, something like that. Yeah. So we pretty much made it, and both vaginal deliveries. So pretty crazy.
Unbelievable.
Issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
After the delivery of your babies, what how did it benefit you to live in a multi-generational house? I mean, I could see the obvious of having extra hands, but these aren't just regular hands. This is their the 20s, you know, great grandma coming from a generation that is very different than our current generation. How was it coming home to that?
Yeah. So, it was, for obvious reasons, it was awesome, right? Like, we have somebody else that absolutely loves the twins, that just wants to sit and hold them and cuddle them and just feeling that family and love, of course, you know. So that's definitely a positive. On the other side, you have two little aliens that you're trying to care for, and it's a lot. It's a lot of people, a lot of opinions, and you know, you just got to remember the balance. Like, they get to grow up with their great grandma, but you know, there are going to be some difference of opinions here and there. So
let's go immediately to the negative, because I love a good juicy gossip. What were, sure. And as I've told Janae, I also live multi-generationally, and I know that there was a lot of nice word challenges in the beginning, and that my husband and my mom often butted heads a lot, because my mom would be a little bit overbearing, but to her, it was seen as protective and helpful. But to my husband, it came off as controlling and just weird. Did you guys have situations like that where, you know, especially you, because this isn't your grandma, but yet you grew up with your grandma. Did you ever feel like she was putting her traditions and her, you know, expectations for you on you as a new mom? Or was it she'd never stated anything on her own?
You know, honestly, that's actually what I went into this whole situation thinking was going to happen, that I was going to have another grandmother telling me what to do. But honestly, I can't really think of a situation where she was like, you're doing this wrong, you need to do it this way. And I count myself as very, very, very lucky. I think the biggest thing is just, you know, you have so many different types of people with personalities, like, you know, everybody's just trying to live their own life. And so we're trying to put the babies down, and she's downstairs banging around in the kitchen trying to make lunch. And, you know, it seems trivial at the time, but, you know, when you have 2 week old, it's like, just stop, please, quiet.
Yeah.
So I think it's just more like situations like that, or the TV was going and we didn't want the TV, or, you know, we're going to feed them a little bit of ice cream once they're a couple, like a little bit older. It's like, no, let's not do that, you know? So just really trying to remind myself, like, okay, what's the big picture here? Relationships, family, you know, they're going to be fine. It's a little dab of ice cream. But I think that would be the biggest thing there, is just things that I would normally have a lot of control over with, mm-hmm. you know, if it was just me and Vinny in our own home, it's not necessarily the case.
So Janae, talking about this, right, and knowing that you have, you know, Gigi in the house and your stepdaughter, how do you ever set boundaries on, like, this is how I need things to go, not even how you want things to go. Like, do you ever say, like, this is how it needs to go? Or do you never have a conversation like that in fear of being disrespectful?
I think I pick and choose. So on things that are just like a hard no for me, it's very clear in the house, like, what's okay and what's not. On smaller things, like, you know, okay, I'll just give you an example. So, like, nap time, mm-hmm. I was getting very frustrated because the twins early on had difficulty sleeping, and there was a lot of, like, TVs blasting and, you know, pots banging around. And so we kind of had to lay down the law, like, these are quiet times, you're sitting in your room. But on tiny things, you know, here and there, like, I've learned just to, hey, you know what, it's not important, it's okay. So to answer your question, yes, when it's important, and no, when, you know, gotta learn to let go of control.
That is, it's really, but it's difficult. I know that
it is.
It's got to be a hard conversation to have, because, you know, when you live with people that are from a different generation, they don't, they're like, you know, there was a time when children should be seen and not heard. Right. And it was like that whole time that it was like, there was no such thing as free range parenting. That's just what happened. Your kids just went out and that was that. And odds are from Gigi's generation, that's just what you did. Your kids went out right. when the sun came up and they came home when the sun went down, at least ish, like, you know, a little wiggle room there. Yeah. Do you, are there anything, are there any traditions that, that she basically teaches you that makes you want to implement that? Like, does she make you feel like you are being like a helicopter mom and that you're on them all the time? Like, by seeing the way that she is with the kids or that the way that she is with your husband, does it inspire you to change what your thought of motherhood was like?
That's a good question. I think that she is probably a little more relaxed than I am. And I think that honestly is, especially about like screen time technology. Mm-hmm. I had this vision when I was pregnant that we were gonna be the no screen time, you know, crunchy family, and we are to some extent, but not fully. And I think she has kind of mellowed that out a little bit. And at first, in the first couple months, it kind of made me worried. But now that we made it a year, I think that without her, I would be an extremely controlling helicopter mom, where now it's like, they're fine. Just let them run around the living room with her. Like, they're not going to get hurt. They get to hang out with their great grandma. They're fine. You know, let them play with the toy that sings really loud. It's fine. You know? So in that aspect, I think because she is a little more lax, I think it's calmed me down a little bit. So it's a good thing.
it's a great thing. And it's true that, you know, grandmas tend to keep things in perspective and they're like, they're going to live. Like, that's their, yep, their theory on it. Right. And then, mm-hmm, you know, they might seem like, we didn't need car seats. Why do you need car seats? Right. Does she have any old fashioned values that you feel kind of encroach on, you know, what you envision? Like, besides just the relaxing, are there some things that she thinks are just dumb?
Yes. Okay. So it's what we eat. So Vinny and I are very, very, very aware of making sure there's not a lot of preservatives in our food. We cook everything from home. Ever since the beginning, when the girls started eating solids, like, we did not buy any cans of anything, right? Made our own stuff. She thinks we're outrageous. She thinks we're so ridiculous. So, you know, she's like, her vegetable intake for the day is like, well, I ate a tomato from the garden. Like, I'm fine. You know? So, it's, she kind of laughs at us. And again, going back, you know, giving the kids a little bit of ice cream, a little bit of whipped cream. It's like, you know, but yeah, I think that's the biggest clash. And we cook all the meals for everybody in the house. And so sometimes she eats with us and sometimes she doesn't. Sometimes, you know, she wants a hot dog. It's okay. So.
It's fascinating. It really is on how, you know, there's two ways you could look at it, right? You could say like, no, we don't live like that, Gigi. This is how we do things now. I hate to break news to you. But then she could also just pull the card and be like, hashtag I'm 84. Obviously, yep, I did something.
Which she does all the time. She's like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm still healthy and, you know, you guys are the ones eating like that. So you're going to live to be 150.
It's really tough. It's a tough argument, right? It's like, what do you say to that?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. So for me, again, she's kind of calmed me down, but Vinny's more of the stickler on it. It's like, no, you need to eat healthy. The girls need to eat healthy. What I get a kick out of is when she goes to the store and comes back with treats, like candy. Oh, it's Halloween coming around. Oh, she has a whole bag of candy that she gives to Lothea and eventually the girls. Yeah. So that's going
to
be.
So does Vinny ever have to get involved and be like, grandma, like, slow your roll? Like, does he ever step up and try to protect you and the girls from some of, you know, some traditional thinking that she may have?
I mean, when it comes to food, yeah, absolutely. But for the most part, the dynamic in the house is, you know, Vinny took her in because she wasn't doing well. Obviously, she's doing well now. And, you know, she's not really like, this is my house, these are my rules. Like, you know, she's mm-hmm. here, she's here to help. She's part of the family. Of course, she's very opinionated. So she's going to give opinions when needed or when she seems, you know, she thinks it's important. But for the most part, it's not really butting heads per se. Yeah. Literally, I'm not kidding. It's about food. Isn't that ridiculous?
It's not. It's not ridiculous at all. As an Italian to an Italian, that is, it's the bane and best part of life. Like,
it really is, though. It's true.
It's everything. It's the worst part of life. It's true. The best part of life. That is it. The center. I would have thought that the sun was a meatball until I was about 14 years old. That was it. Sunset.
Oh my gosh.
And I could, I mean, I, you know, was raised with my grandmother too every day. It was, mm-hmm. it was tough. It was really yeah. tough when the twins came home and we live in, when the twins came home, we didn't have an elevator. It was just a walk up. So weirdly, oh, we have an elevator now. It's such a weird thing. Why didn't we have this before? It's not even worth discussing. But I remember that I would have to carry them up and down the stairs with, you know, their car seats and oh my gosh, Janae, it was a mess. It was such a mess. And every time I would be tired and my grandmother would come down to visit, she would literally like yell at me for being tired. Like what, like, how could you be tired? Josie had twins and she was on the sixth floor, you know? And I'm like, oh no, please. I can't right now. And then I always felt bad. Like,
oh, that's hilarious.
You know, like I have to be stronger. I was cut from the same cloth as this woman. I should be tougher than this. Why am I complaining? But now in hindsight, I'm like, are you kidding me that I was, of course I was complaining about carrying twins up and down a walk up in Manhattan with my groceries and my husband's dry cleaning and anything else that needed to happen. That was wild. Grandparents really could put things into perspective and really make you feel a way that nobody else possibly.
So true. It's so true.
Now, Janae, with your unbelievable wealth of knowledge, if somebody is living in a multi-generational situation, and they're currently expecting, what are some of the tips that you would give them to have as much harmony in their home as you have in yours?
Well, I would say, starting off, definitely communicate as much as possible. Try to give whoever the, you know, the oldest person in the house is as much information about expectations. And I think also, in addition to that, also making sure that there's quiet spaces in the house for everybody. It's a packed area. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think we did kind of on accident organically, but now looking back, I think we did a really good job of it. Before the twins came, it was like, you know, Gigi's always had her room. She has her own bathroom. She has a place to go when things get crazy. You know, she's 84. Who wants to hang out with kids all day? You know? And so she needs some quiet time, and just having that for her and having, you know, a space for her to go down and get a snack when needed and not have to be around everybody, I think, is mm-hmm. important. Same thing for Levea, as a 9-year-old, you know, she's an older sister now, and she got to set up her own room, paint it, you know, like decorate it and really get into like preparation of having younger siblings, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the twins have their own space too. So we're really fortunate to have, you know, a home where we're able to do that. But I think that's important regardless of what type of home you have, is communication. And then just making sure when you need a break, give everybody a space to have that break, you know?
What about like creating jobs? Like, did, when the babies came home, were you like, Gigi, you're responsible for washing the bottles, you're responsible for this? Like, did you ever have assigned tasks in the house?
Yeah. So, in terms of cleaning, no. And now that you say that, I feel like we need to get better at that. Vinny and I do most of that. However, we noticed about 3 weeks in that in the mornings after the twins woke up, we needed a little bit of, I needed time to nap and he needed to go work out. We just needed that time. So early on, we asked Gigi, hey, if we feed, change the girls, do all the stuff in the morning, and we put them in their little chairs downstairs in the living room, would you mind just sitting with them? You know, they're 3 weeks old, they're not moving around. And she loved it. Absolutely loved it. You know, put on her, you know, old Western shows, sat with the girls, rocked them. It was adorable, right? So that worked for a couple months. She ended up having some health issues around Thanksgiving. And so we had to rethink that. But now we're kind of back to that again. So when Vinny and I cook dinner at night, that's something that we love to do. So we do it together. You know, she sits in the living room with the girls. LaVeya is with us and she does the same thing. And same with LaVeya, you know, we set up jobs for her. Hey, you know, she's so amazing. She on weekends gets the girls dressed, you know, so she gets to pick out their little outfits. Oh. And, you know, she loves changing them and, you know, hey, hang out with the girls for a little bit. I'm going to go do X, Y, and Z in the garden, you know? Mm-hmm. So definitely time carved out throughout the day where mm-hmm. they get to spend time with the girls and Vinny and I get to do our own thing, which is life-saving, absolutely life-saving. So that is the perk of living in a multi-generational home.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. I think that's the number one perk I have. You know, we never, to this day, I believe, or maybe I threw my niece a few bucks, I have never paid for help. And it's the best thing in the universe. And when my 20s were little, I would call my sister, my sister also lives here, by the way, Janae, like literally, I told you we're all in the building. But I would call my sister at 3 a.m. and say, you got to come up and help me, because weirdly, my husband was still working at that time, like at 3 a.m. So I would be on my own for those feeds. And so I would call her, she would come up, she would feed, like literally we'd be like two zombies feeding some babies. Mm-hmm. And then she would just leave and go back to bed. And I'm like, this is it. This is why you have a village. You know, this is
100%.
This is the point of it. Now, I have a question about the identical, right? So does your stepdaughter and does your grandma, do they ever have trouble telling the girls apart initially or now?
Every once in a while. From when they were little, I mean, we all kind of did. So I'm not kidding. On their first doctor's appointment, I got them mixed up. How mortifying. Anyway, it's terrible. So anyway, but I was sleep deprived. So yeah, every once in a while it'll happen, but they have such distinct personalities. It's really difficult to get them mixed up now. So especially, you know, a little over a year in, it's really obvious.
What was your system to tell them apart initially?
So there's a couple. Baby B, Vanessa, she has a little birthmark on her back. And then she also was suctioned out. So she had a little hematoma for a while. So that was actually Vinny's way to figure out. He just rub her head. Oh yeah, that's B. I've got it. So that was the main indicator right there.
And that's it. You only need to know one. Yeah, everybody gets so nervous about it, but usually Mother Nature's like, I'm going to give you an identifier. Don't get stressed. I got this one. Any other tips about, you know, making sure that everybody has what they need? Because, you know, you are taking care of her. She is mm-hmm. another person in your home and it's more than just the 20s and she's there full time. And, you know, she's definitely going to have different needs than, you know, a nanny or a babysitter. How do you balance her needs as, you know, as a grandma versus, you know, balancing everything else that you do in the house?
Yeah. Well, one of the things is we need to make sure we're not asking too much of her. And we learned that early on, like I was saying, we had a little health issue around, Thanksgiving last year. So we were like, wow, you know, we can use her 30 minutes, 45 minutes to watch the girls. But after that, you know, she's 84, you can't ask too much more of that. And so just being aware of that, we do have a part-time nanny who comes in during the day when Vinny and I are at work. And then she goes home around 2 and either Vinny and I are home by, you know, 15, 30 minutes later. So she gets a little time with the girls. So, you know, as the years go on, we'll have to adjust that. But as of right now, that's, you know, that's working for us. But yeah, just being aware of, you know, she's not the nanny, you know, she's there to help in certain situations, but, you know, she's tired. She gets tired. She wants to sit. She do her puzzles, you know? and also, you know, for instance, tomorrow, like I'm taking off work and I'm driving her to a doctor's appointment, a couple hours away. So it's just stuff like that, that just you're aware of and you do, because you love them and your family, you know?
Now, interestingly, as a social studies teacher,
yeah,
is there ever a time that you feel like Gigi's years of experience kind of get integrated in your profession?
Nat, let me tell you, I asked her so many questions. She was in the military in the 50s and 60s. Are you kidding me? I will sit at the dinner table and ask her so many questions. What was this like? What was this like? Do you remember this happening? And I love it. Are you kidding me? And then I go and tell my kids the next day, you know, my students. So yeah, it's awesome. I love that.
I could imagine. That's what a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, you could learn, obviously all of us know, you can learn a lot of things from, you know, books and podcasts and stuff like that, but nothing beats like real life experience. And it's so exciting when we get to have multi-generations that we get to learn from. And I think one of the great things about grandparents or even great-grandparents, and my husband's grandmother is still alive. So the twins' great-grandma, she's 91 now. She really keeps things in perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. Like she came here from Puerto Rico, didn't speak any English. She came at 16. She only has a sixth grade education. And this chick has just rocked it out for her whole life. And right. And I always say, you know, sometimes it is a lot. And Janae, you would understand it's a lot because you have to manage doctor schedules for grandma. And then you still have to take care of the twins. And then, you know, you still have to pay attention to Vinny. And then perhaps you do something for yourself, maybe if there's time, but it's just fascinating that you do it. And you're just like, there's no way I could, you know, give back to this woman who's given you a lot, because without her, there would be no Vinny. You know, so it's just unbelievable. And Janae, I'm so thankful that you took your free time. I can't believe this now thinking about it. I feel guilty that this is what you're doing when you could be, you know, hiding in the bathroom watching TikTok or something. I'm happy that you're with me. And I can't thank you enough for sharing your experience. And I love it. And there's a lot of and I think with COVID too, Janae, there's a lot more multi-generational families living together now. So I think a lot of us are just protecting, you know, our most prized family possessions, which are typically our older generations. And I love that you guys are doing that. And I'm really proud of you. And I'm so excited for the girls, all three of them, to grow up and have her right there. And they're going to grow up as different women that they would have without her. So it's going to be awesome. Oh, Janae, you are the best. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
Yay. All right, guys, if you have any more questions on multi-generational living, if you want to ask Gigi about her military experience, I'm sure Janae will ask her at the dinner table. You could email us at community@twiniversity.com, or you could literally send us a direct message on any freaking social platform out there right now. We will always get back to you. And don't forget, we have our app that is now out in the App Store, which will help you keep track of everybody. And even if you wanted to add an additional person you care for to just keep them in the tracker, feel free to throw your own Gigi as another family member that you want to keep track of. Because honestly, I feel like that would be great for John's grandmother to keep track of. She took her medications and when she was sleeping. I actually think that would be greatly benefit for us. So yeah, who knew that the Twiniversity app could work for grandmas too. So that is all I got for now. Until next time, guys, see you later, alligators. And thanks for listening.